apologize. There are times, I guess, when you ladies have had to throw something on the pot at the last second, and it has all turned out better than some meals that you spent a day and a half doing. But maybe you shall think I should have stuck with what I was thinking of when we get finished, but at any rate, we're glad that you're here, and we're happy for your presence. We do have some visitors tonight. We have Dan and Shirley Torres from Bellingham, Washington, who have just moved to now to Wichita, Kansas. They were here for the debate, and they're seated down here, and are good friends of ours. And they've been towers of strength in the work of the gospel in the Northwest, and have been a helper of many, and of myself especially. And they have encouraged us in ways that are unknown to many people. But they've been a help to us in the work of the gospel, and they're here with us tonight. And we are glad that they are. Also was glad for the very fine job that Wayne did, leading of the singing. Thought he did a very outstanding, very creditable job. Very thankful to see that. When we came here, Wayne was a little boy, and now he's a young man. And it's part of Mike's work and training as a song leader. And you just don't know what an honor and a privilege it is. As I get older and a little bit grayer, to see young men like this, and he's not the only one in this church, but others like him, as they just gradually fill into the mold of the work of the gospel. Isn't that an encouraging thing? I know it is to others too. But we're glad for that. Tonight, I want us to talk for just a little bit and some things that I hope will help the understanding of some, and there are some who are visiting with us who might need to understand and see some things that I think will be helpful tonight. I want us to notice, just in a general way, a thing that we noted a couple of weeks ago about the changing church. And we noted then, first of all, how that there are some who say that the church must evolve or must change. And we had a representation of a tadpole. And it was the argument of some that you know how that a tadpole evolves or changes into a frog. And so there are some that say that the church must change. And so the argument goes like into this. They say that then in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, that what you had in the second chapter of the book of Acts was living apostles. And you had eyewitnesses to the resurrection. And you had miracles that confirmed the word. And at that point, in Acts 2 itself, on the day of Pentecost, you had no elders in every church. There was just that church, and there were no elders in it. Now then, they say that was then. Now, what do we have today? Well, we have the apostles, but not living. We have the apostles and their writings. We have the apostles and the witness of the apostles and prophets, but we have their testimony in the written book of God, and the miracles, as John said, these are written that you might believe. Men are no longer effecting miracles, as in Acts chapter 4. Now notice it, please. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible tells us in verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's Acts 4 and verse 33, in 14:3 of Acts. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, watch it now, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now then, get the argument, please. The argument is of some today that as then the church evolved, like this tadpole went from different forms and shapes and finally became and changed into a complete frog. So the church started in Acts 2 with the living apostles. Paul and Peter and John are dead today. We no longer have them. And so they had their witness. They said, Acts 2:32, they said, Christ has been raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We've seen him. Well, today, we just have the testimony of those witnesses. Now, there were some that said that they saw some evidence with regard to the Lindbergh baby's kidnapping. They saw that Bruno Richard Hauptmann had done certain things, had been at a certain gas station, and had wood and other such things in a ladder that was found at the Lindbergh house. They were the testifiers, they were witnesses at one of the trials of the century in the 1930s. Where are those witnesses today? Do they exist? They're dead, aren't they? Do we have their witness? Do we have their testimony? Yes, sir, we do have it, don't we? Are they alive to give it? No, they're not alive, but we have their testimony. We have their sworn testimony, don't we? We have that. All right. Now, there were the living apostles. Now we have their writings. And so the miracles are recorded, and now we find elders in every church. Now, here's the argument that some make. As the church then evolved and changed, so the church must evolve and change today. Now, brethren and friends, I was asked to speak on these things in New Mexico recently because a large number of people have come from a very digressive, very liberal congregation, and one of the arguments they're using, now these arguments likened to this, that as the church changed then, so it must evolve or change today. Now, we want to take a look at that tonight, as we did in just a very cursory form, very preliminary form earlier. But notice with me, please, now, that still when that tadpole evolved or changed, now that's all evolution means is change. We all believe in evolution. Your children evolve, they grow or change, don't they? Okay? Now, that tadpole, still, though it changes, it still ends up in every generation being a what? A frog. It has not changed and become a moo cow, has it? Huh? It hasn't become a thoroughbred to win the Kentucky Derby, has it? No, it goes through many changes, but the bottom line is it is still a frog. Now, the same thing is true with respect to the church of our Lord. What began in the second chapter of the book of Acts, there are some things that are different. We no longer have men that are able to work miracles, that are able to raise the dead, that are able to speak a foreign language that they've never studied or never learned, that is, speaking in tongues. We no longer have men that are able to take a crippled man by the hand, Acts 3 and verse 6, and lift him up and immediately receive strength in his feet, and he began to walk and to leap about and with joy praising God. Those things do not occur today, no matter what Oral Roberts says. If he could, he'd go into all of these clinics and he would cure it. And they talk about these landmines blowing people's legs off. Well, the Lord restored an ear that had been cut off. And if these men have the power they say they have, why, any time anybody stepped on a landmine, they'd go fix that leg. They don't have that power. All right, but that's another point. What's the argument? That tadpole still became a frog. That church still, though there was change in the development and elders were in local churches, that church did not evolve into the Roman Catholic denomination, into the Methodist denomination, or the Baptist denomination. It did not so evolve in the first century, did it? It did not go from Acts, the second chapter, in Acts 2 in Jerusalem, to a Catholic church in Rome. It did not go to a Methodist church in Ephesus. It did not go and develop into a Baptist church in Corinth, did it? No. No, and so this is where the argument is knocked down. But let us notice, please, at the bottom. There was no change. Now, there was change from the standpoint that the tadpole became a frog. It evolved there, but there was none of this leap of a different kind or order. And so Paul said, we're not to go beyond the things that are written, and the things that he preached were to be preached in every church. We're to hold fast, 2 Timothy 1:13, the form or the pattern of sound words.
And that form or that pattern of sound words that produced the church in the first century will produce the same pattern today. That tadpole will not produce a moo cow. It will not produce secretariat or a thoroughbred. No, it produces the same. We're to hold the traditions or the teachings that we've heard from the Word of God. All right, now, I believe we have noticed that in principle, but let's take it further tonight. I want us to notice, please, at the top now, don't be confused, but you stay with me, in the upper portion of our chart tonight. Now, look first. Here is a seed. You know what that is? That's a watermelon seed. Almost looks like one, doesn't it? Now, humor me. Almost looks like one. Thank you. All right. It almost looks like one. Now, that watermelon seed, is there any evolution of that watermelon seed? Is there change? Yes. What does it become? It becomes a little vine. A little light green vine, doesn't it? It runs all over the yard, right? And finally, what do you get? You get time to call Larry. What do you mean? Watermelon. And when you got that, that's time to call Larry. Okay? Now you see that evolution or that chain. Now, same principle. You see this? That's a little apple seed. That's a little apple seed. Now, is there any change? Yes. It becomes a little tree, doesn't it? And what do you get as the end result? You get an apple. Don't have to call me. But you see the point, don't you? Now remember, the same thing is true spiritually. The same thing is true as physical. We have the watermelon seed, there is a change, but it always produces what? Watermelon. You have an apple seed, is there a change from this form? Yes. Becomes a tree. And finally you have the finished fruit, don't you? But it never produces a watermelon. Now, likewise, notice please that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, you had living, breathing, physical men who were apostles, who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection, who effected or worked or performed miracles. And in Acts chapter 2, there were no elders or overseers of that church on that day in Acts 2, so far as is recorded. And at that point, there was no set order of worship that was revealed when those people have come up out of the water. They that gladly received His word were baptized. And so at that point, we do not have the church organized and working and functioning or worshiping at that precise moment, do we? Well, was there change? Yes. Now we have the writings of the apostles. We now, of these eyewitnesses, we have their testimony. Now remember, we don't have any testimony of living eyewitnesses of the kidnapping of Charles Lindbergh's babies. Y'all remember that historically? I wasn't born yet either, but maybe you've heard about that. Okay? Well, all right. So at any rate, we have their testimony in the court records, okay? Now, these miracles that they worked are recorded. They are written, John 20, that you might believe. Now then, we learn from Acts 14 that they ordained or appointed them elders in every church. And that's our first reference to that kind of a thing, except for Acts 11, where they sent money to the elders in Acts 11. But at that point, elders are ordained in every church, Acts 14, 23. And we find that worship was then defined, as we have reference made to it in the New Testament. Now, so the fact is that the church did evolve, or it did change in those elements. Now get the point. Does a watermelon seed change? Does it go through various stages? Yes. Does the apple seed change? Does it go through various steps or stages? It does, doesn't it? Now, have there been things that have changed? Are there today living apostles? No. Do we have men who are eyewitnesses testifying of what they personally have seen? Not living today. John wrote about it in 1 John 1. He said, we have seen, our eyes have seen, our hands have handled the word of life. But he said, what we have seen and heard declare we unto you, and now we have written it to you. And Peter said, you know what, folks? Peter said in 2 Peter 1, he said, I'm about to die. He said, I'm getting to be an old man, and I'm going to die. 2 Peter 1, I'm paraphrasing. But he said, I'm writing this that you may have a record of it. 2 Peter 1, verses 12 to 15. And well, so we have that record. All right, next. Notice, please, the seed is the Word of God. Now, after what we have said, think about it now. Does this represent an accurate picture? Does it? Listen. Here is one seed. Just one seed. Just one seed. Listen. Does one seed become either or? Can it become a watermelon vine or an apple tree? Can just one seed become either one of those? It can't, can it? It can't, can it? No. One seed, you cannot take the same seed and say, here's a seed, it's just like the other one, but one of them will produce a watermelon vine, one will produce an apple. That doesn't happen, does it? Does it? No, that doesn't happen. All right, now, notice please, that in the New Testament, the church that existed in Acts chapter 2, that church that existed, and then there were some changes. That, in other words, there was the growth of the vine, the full product. But that church that evolved or changed, where then that you had a set organization, elders in every church, you had singing and praying and teaching, where that set, and you had laying by of your means upon the first day of the week, and the giving of the fact that we're to take the Lord's Supper, eat this bread, drink this cup upon the first day of the week. Those things became a part of the pattern, didn't they? But they did not evolve. That one seed did not become some places a Baptist, some places a Pentecostal church, other places a Lutheran church, did it? No. You see, Baptists and Pentecostals will only baptize adults in water. Lutherans will sprinkle water on little babies and call it baptism. Now, in order for that to happen, what you'd be saying is that the seed could produce either a watermelon vine or an apple tree, the same seed. And that isn't so, is it? That doesn't happen, does it? See? All right, then. The same seed sown results in the same product known. Right? Okay? You got that premise? Now, spiritually speaking, the seed is the Word of God. And the seed will produce, what did Genesis say? What does the book of Genesis say, chapters 1 and 2? The seed will produce after his kind. Right? All right. Now, it's the same way spiritually. That same gospel seed did not develop into different varieties of religious fruit. Each of them different, diverse, contradictory, and conflicting. No more so than one seed might at one time become an apple tree and another time become a tomato vine or a watermelon vine. No. Okay? Now, in other words, not this. This is not what happens in nature, is it? You do not take one seed, and that one seed, well, it might become an apple tree one time, it might become a watermelon vine another time, and hey, it might produce bananas, pears, apples, whatever, you know, watermelon, you just don't know. Is that the way nature works? Is that the way nature functions? When you put a kernel of corn in the ground, do you know whether or not you're going to get tomatoes or corn or watermelon? What do you know? Okay, next. Now the same thing is true, folks, in the Bible. The Bible says in Luke 8 and verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. Let's see that. Is that all there is to that? All right, now, the seed, look, Luke 8, 11. The Bible says the seed is the Word of God. And the book of Genesis stated this fundamental principle, that each seed would bear or produce fruit after his kind. So that you do not find in the biologic realm, in the physical material realm, a seed producing different things. Just so, you do not find the seed, the Bible, the Word of God, producing on the one hand a Baptist church, or on the other hand, the next time it might produce a Mormon church, or down the street that same seed might produce a Methodist church. No. Now, Frank Campbell has a garden, has a good one. Brother and Sister Long, several of you others have a garden, don't you? Now, if I give this seed to Brother Campbell, and this seed produces watermelons, and I give the same seed to Brother Long, is he going to get apples? No. If he has the same seed, he'll get the same thing. So you know, if I give a seed to Brother Campbell, Frank, and I give that seed to Frank, and you know if Frank gets a watermelon out of it, and I give the same seed to Brother Long, you know Brother Long's going to get a watermelon, don't you? Right now, folks, listen. If we sow the same gospel seed, the seed, the Bible says, Luke 8:11, is the Word of God. If I sow the Word of God in the first century, and I get Christians, if I produce Christians, disciples, brethren in the Lord, the church you read about in the Bible, and that is what was produced, then today, if I sow the same seed, I know I'm not going to produce a variety of products, am I? All right. So then, notice, this seed gives or imparts life. Now this tree is a living thing, isn't it? It has a tap root that goes down into the earth, and by a process of osmosis and through xylem and phloem cells, water is drawn up from the earth. You know, Kevin prayed a while ago about the rain that's come to refresh the earth. He was exactly right. That water is going to be going down into the earth. And you know that old wood tree out there in your yard, out here in this yard? Those roots are down there. And that water is going to be drawn up as through a well, through a process. How's that developed? God put it there. And that water is going to grow up. But where does it initially get all that life? Where does this tree get its life? The seed. The seed. And then, the delicious fruit. You understand that, all right? Now look. The Bible says, the seed is the Word of God. Luke 8 and verse 11. Jesus said, the seed, spiritually, is the Word of God. What did Genesis say? that the seed would produce after his kind. Now, if I am sowing that seed, what does that seed do? All right, now look at John 6. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What that says is, they are life-giving. In verse 68, Peter said, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. All right, now, the seed is the word of God. They are the words of life, of eternal life. They are life-giving. John 6:63. So here's your seed. And it reveals, finally, its product. What is the product? The church of our Lord. Christians. Now, you see the finished product out here. When I see that apple, when I see that finished product, listen, when I see that apple, what does that tell me about what kind of seed I sowed? Suppose I gave that seed to Frank and, well, Subway had it wrapped up a little bit and I didn't tell him what it was. He said, what kind of seed is it, Larry? I said, you just wait, and he plants it when it grows up, and when Frank gets his first apple off that tree, what does he know about that seed I gave him? He knows it's apple seed, doesn't he? All right, now, when you come and you find those that are working and worshiping after the New Testament order or arrangement, you find people that are meeting together, praying, singing, studying the Word of God, breaking bread, taking the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. When you find them doing things as the Bible prescribes, what have you found? You have found the revealed product. It reveals the seed source in itself after its kind. All right. One more? Good. Now, notice that it is gradually revealed. Gradually done. You know, when it starts out, when that first little sprig of an apple tree starts out, or that first little vine comes up for the watermelon, does that little light green watermelon vine tell you the end product? It doesn't, does it? I mean, if we sowed a watermelon seed in the ground, and then that little light vine, little light green vine came up, the first day it came up, you saw it, it perked its little head up above out of the ground. First day you saw that little vine come up, would you have any idea in this world that a big old watermelon was going to be the result? Would you? Honest? No way in the world, would you? No. Let me ask you. You see a tadpole, if you saw a tadpole in a mud hole, would you have any idea in this world that a tadpole was going to be a big old croaking green frog? I mean, if you had never seen it before, would you? No. All right. Now, in Acts chapter 2, they preach the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. In Acts, the second chapter, they preach that Word. They planted that seed in the hearts of men. And the Bible says in verse 41, they that gladly received His word were baptized. And in verse 47 of Acts 2, the Bible says the Lord added the saved to the church, those that were being saved. So then, in Acts 2, when the seed was sown, there was the produce. Now, Jesus said, I have many things to say to you. But He said, you cannot bear them now. John chapter 16. But He said, when the Holy Spirit is come, He will guide you into all truth. And for a time, there was knowledge revealed in part. We know in part, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 10. We prophesy in part. For a time, there was a growing, a development, if you will. You see, that seed goes to the little light green vine. that seed goes to the little sprig of a tree. You don't yet see the apple. So, the seed is being sown. And then, there is the unfolding of God's purpose in the church. So we find in the local congregation, elders in every church. We find that later. We find them in their worship in 1 Corinthians 14. We see them in their work, Acts 6, Acts 11. We read of their organization and work as the churches of Christ. We see that development. Now notice, please, through all of this, still, it's the same seed, the Word of God, and the same product, the church of our Lord. The tadpole has not become a moo cow. Has not become a thoroughbred. The seed that produces an apple doesn't produce a watermelon the next time around. And so, we have the revelation of God's purpose, full and complete revelation, revealed today, the church in its oversight, in its work, in its worship, in its organized entity. We find that in the church of our Lord. Now tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there are some of you that are visiting. There are some of you that maybe do not understand nor comprehend. Maybe all of the divergency, all of the difference that you see in the religious world round about us. You say, oh yes, Larry, there are churches and some of them are so different from what you all are. Some of them, you come in and you hear the din of the music and it sounds almost like a hoot nanny of, you know, you sound like a musical show of some kind. You hear the raucous emotion. Some of it is very sedate and old fashioned and all of this. Friend, listen. That same seed is still producing that same product. What we endeavor to be here at the Pruitt and Lobet Street Church is that same finished product of the seed, the Word of God. If you find us worshiping in a way that is not in the Bible, we'll quit it. If you find worship in the Bible in which we are not engaged in, we'll begin it. If you hear us teaching and preaching doctrines, see us practicing something that is not of the Bible, we'll stop it. If you see that in the Bible, the apostles taught this or that, and you never hear it taught, and it is not believed here, you point it out, we'll start preaching it and repent for not having done so earlier. The seed is the Word of God. Now I ask you, you are here tonight. You are a spiritual being. My question is, of what seed are you? What did you do to become what you are religiously? If what you obeyed, if what you did to become what you are religiously, if it put you into a human, man-made denomination with a name that you cannot read about in the Bible, with an organization, maybe a one-man pastor at the head, if it put you into something like that, my friend, you know then that I didn't give you, you didn't get the proper seed. If Frank Campbell ends up with a watermelon, he knows I didn't give him an apple seed. He knows that. And so if you ended up in some church you can't read about in the Bible, if you've been worshiping in a way where they sprinkle water on little babies, for example, or you have been following some other revelation like in the Mormon church, my friend, you haven't had the right seed. You haven't been germinated and illuminated by the right seed. And that seed is the Word of God. And so tonight, we extend an invitation to you to obey the gospel of Christ. The seed is the Word of God and it'll give you life and it's planted in your heart tonight. You can see a part of that truth tonight. We hope you've seen it. We know you can understand it. If you have more questions, we'll study with you. We want to be open to you. And if we are in error about what we've said tonight, we'll also study with you. Maybe you can help us. We want to be that product produced by that seed. And God being our helper, that's all we intend to be. You're here tonight, not a Christian. We extend this invitation to you to obey the gospel. You believe in Christ? Maybe you always have. Then you repent of your sins. You confess your faith in Him. And we'll do in Acts 2, those that gladly received His word were baptized for the remission of sins, and the Lord will add you to His church. That's what the Bible teaches. And if you haven't done that, you followed some other plan, obeyed some other seed, been a member of some other plant. Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You need to get out of that plant, that man-made plant, before Jesus roots it up. And you need to do it now, right now, while we stand and while we sing.
Almost persuaded.